Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. China is unhappy with the U.S. this morning after an F-22 fighter jet shot down a suspected spy balloon yesterday off the Carolina coast. CBS's Lucy Kraft reports from Tokyo.
China's foreign ministry declared strong dissatisfaction and protest after its giant balloon was shot down by a U.S. missile. Beijing labeled the use of force an overreaction and argues this balloon was a civilian aircraft that strayed into U.S. territory by accident. China has not commented on Pentagon reports of a second balloon hovering over Latin America.
Evacuation orders remain in place this morning in East Palestine, Ohio, after a train derailment Friday night caused a large fire. National Transportation Safety Board member Michael Graham.
About 50 cars were involved in the derailment, 20 of which contain hazardous materials.
A collision between two large planes was narrowly averted at the airport in Austin, Texas yesterday morning. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
The Southwest Airlines plane was cleared for takeoff as an air traffic controller also gave the go-ahead for the FedEx 767 cargo plane to land. According to a statement from the Federal Aviation Administration, the FedEx pilot discontinued the landing and initiated a last-second climb-out to avoid a collision.
Despite the dangerous cold in the Northeast and New England, the mail is getting delivered, and people are appreciative, says Dan Reed in Central New York State.
People are always saying thank you, and I can't believe you're out here, and you're doing great, and you know that. It's nice to hear that.
Recorded at the top of Mount Washington in New Hampshire yesterday, a record-setting wind chill of minus 108 degrees Fahrenheit. Federal food assistance benefits for tens of millions of Americans will shrink significantly this month, and food banks are preparing, says CBS's Jim Crisula.
Managers of the nation's food banks expect record demand this month. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits are cut.
We worry that we'll see a tidal wave of need.
Eric Cooper is CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank in Texas. The benefits are being cut after Washington gave all SNAP recipients the maximum monthly benefit during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Tens of thousands of Israelis braved heavy rain yesterday for a fifth week of nationwide protests over judicial reform plans by the new government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Protester Shai Spiegelman.
If the people of Israel is not going to do it, people are going to suffer here. People cannot stop. We cannot go back.
A bill ending 24-hour-a-day solitary confinement is close to becoming law in Virginia. The bill passed the Virginia House unanimously last week, 99-0. This week, it heads to the Senate, where passage is expected. From there, it goes to the desk of the governor. This is CBS News.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
4 Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A former Trump campaign official and Republican operative is apparently the person who gave a reporter audio of Trump campaign officials in Wisconsin admitting they'd lost in 2020, but planning to promote election fraud claims anyway. The anonymous tipster said they chose to share it after Trump announced another run for president. The former Trump staffer wants to keep their name out of the story out of concern about retaliation. 32 deer at a southwest Wisconsin deer farm were recently put down after a chronic wasting disease outbreak. The state quarantined the farm in September after a buck tested positive. After that, three other deer tested positive. The state is paying the farm owner for the deer, but the farm is also banned from having any more deer for 5 years. In sports, the Bucks are at Portland tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on the Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads. Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue or online at knuckleheads.shop.
Knuckleheads CBD and Vapes, your one-stop smoke shop.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
There's no announcement of when the special election will be for this, which needs to come down from Governor Tony Evers. Who knows? Maybe Tony will be a little petty off of all of those appointments that the legislature is sitting on.
Previous appointees can sit on those boards years past their expiration date, like a bad carton of cottage cheese.
That, James.
Okay.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Monday! It is February 6th. We are 15 days away from the primary.
It's coming up fast.
Coming up. Jane Metnair, how you doing? How was your weekend?
Weekend was great. And you?
Weekend was relaxing.
Good.
We spent a lot of time horizontal, catching up on sleep, catching up on life, and we are ready to roll for a full week of shows, full week of great guests. Today, we got a great show coming up. I asked this question for the noon hour to which shortage is the worst shortage? Because it feels like every week we are talking about some new headline that we are in a constitutional crisis because of the lack of DAs and public defenders. Teachers are resigning in droves. And today we're going to be talking specifically about the caregiver, both for older people and younger people. But yeah, in this case, specifically with Carrie Winkler, who we'll be talking to, who's a program specialist for the Wisconsin Caregiver Academy, which is new, which is trying to alleviate the few amount of people that we have to take care of our aging population. They all feel bad. But if you have thoughts on which shortage is the worst shortage, that's kind of the question of the day. 844-967-2789. But during the 11 o'clock hour, this first hour, the bottom of the hour, we're going to definitely get to some headlines, some happy Bucks news off
yes.
the court. Both Drew Holiday and his wife and Lauren Holiday and everything that they're doing, everything Culver's did in response to Giannis.
She's so funny.
So we will end this hour on a high note. But to kick off, I know this news broke on Friday, but if you tuned in on Friday, it was a rerun. We had to take a day off, but that is fine. We are back and we're going to talk about this today because when can this just die? Truly, truly, I am so sick of the election integrity, the fact that Trump, the more mounting evidence that there was never any conclusion or suspicion, really, on what happened in Wisconsin, because there are now tapes, there is now a leaked audio tape that shows they knew. They knew from the start.
That the election was fine.
That the election in Wisconsin was fine. The Trump campaign knew it had lost to Wisconsin. It lost Wisconsin to Joe Biden in the 2020 election almost immediately. But as of Friday, the Associated Press published new audio tapes that confirm Trump operatives decided to ignore that reality and instead, quote, fan the flame end quote, by spreading false allegations against allegations of fraud. And we are still living with the ramifications of those false allegations. They were repeated and they were repeated, and then they were debunked and discredited, even as Donald Trump to this day is still repeating and demanding that the Wisconsin election be overturned. We had costly recounts. He's tried to sue and lost multiple times in court. We had the Gableman investigation.
$2 million worth.
I know, I'm going to get to that. And there still is no evidence of fraud at all. So, if you missed what the tapes were obtained by the Associated Press that show on November 5th, 2020, 2 days after the election, Trump operatives acknowledged that Biden had won Wisconsin by about 21,000 votes. And the audio tapes, so let's play them, because they did publish them.
Here's the drill. Comms is going to continue to fan the flame and get the word out about Democrats trying to steal this election. We'll do whatever they need our help with, okay? So just be on standby in case there's any stunts we need to pull. Look, guys, at the end of the day, like, this operation received more votes than any other Republican in Wisconsin history. Like, and it wasn't even close. Guys, we outperformed the president in 16 by just over 200,000 votes, right? Like, say what you want, our operation turned out Republican or DJT supporters. The Democrats just got 20,000 more than us out of Dade County and by their shenanigans in Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Dane. So there's a lot that people can learn from this campaign.
In case there are any stunts we need to pull.
The shenanigans. What shenanigans? If he just admitted that they lost, what shenanigans are they? Is he talking about the ballot boxes? Or is he talking about they just got people just, there was more people who wanted Biden than Trump? That was Andrew Iverson, who was part of the Trump campaign in Wisconsin. And, you know, it's like he's trying, it's a weird combination of trying to console the other campaign workers of like, listen, we had a valiant effort. This is the most Republican voter turnout we've had almost ever.
Right.
We just lost by 20,000 votes. And he just said that. Fine. You got to say what you got to say to your campaign. There's always a loser and you got to try to, you know,
buck them up a little bit.
But the fact that he said, just stand by in case there's any stunts we need to pull, is really something. And you know what? To a certain extent, we shouldn't be surprised at this point, right? And maybe this isn't even news because, you know, wait, on this radio station and across the Civic Media Network, how many times last year did we play again and again and again that audio clip of Ron Johnson admitting that he knew that Trump had lost? It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the clearest audio, but I know I heard it.
I heard it numerous times.
We heard
times.
It a lot,
yes,
right?
We did.
And he admitted
Trump lost.
Granted, he didn't know he was being taped, but probably this guy, Andrew Iverson, didn't know he was being taped either. But he said, listen, there is no, like, the results did not seem obviously skewed. And no one seemed to care that he was talking out of both sides of his mouth because we reelected him. And no one seemed to care earlier this year, only like a month ago, when the text message came out as far as Andrew Hitt having a conversation about Ron Johnson wants us to lie and change the electors and push through Trump. And so we're all sick of this. I'm sick of it. I think people who even voted for Trump, the sane people who voted for Trump, it's like, it's time to move on,
yes,
from this rhetoric, but we can't let this go because Trump is running again. He is running again. He's going to be coming back to Wisconsin inevitably. And there's been no accountability for what he put our state through and what he's put the country through and what is still lasting as far as how beaten and bruised our state is and how much this has only caused additional divisiveness in our state And also the people who still believe this, who have not let it go despite mounting evidence that not only was there no election fraud, but that the entire campaign knew that he lost days after he lost.
And continued to lie for him.
And I'm sure most of the shows talked about this on Friday when it broke, but it's just like I wanted to bring it up again because what the other thing that broke on Friday, which you already mentioned, is we're still paying for Gableman.
Yeah.
And right now, the price tag of Gableman's probe is nearing $2 million. Reminder that the budget for this was $676,000.
Oh, that seems slightly higher.
And it's not even over, necessarily. Like, it could be higher than this, because the legal bills for his investigation, if you will, we want to call it that. I know Luke from Dueling Tangents refuses to call it an investigation, but it continues to pile up, and we're on the hook for this as taxpayers, and there was nothing that came from this. But it is topping, it's almost $2 million, and not because of the $527,877 spent on the investigation itself. It's the nearly $1.5 million on lawyers.
Right.
Because of all the different shenanigans he pulled as far as, like, the investigation didn't follow the law for keeping records or providing public access to what they were doing. So they opened themselves up to lawsuits. And this was the quote from the WPR article that I saw. I got this from but Barry Burton, who's an election specialist and also is a professor over at UW-Wisconsin-Madison. But he said, these are mostly self-inflicted wounds. It did not have a clear mission or scope, it being the investigation of its activities, and ended up being a very expensive failure that continues to cost the state money, even though it has ceased operations. And so this lie that we now have even more proof that was a lie, that was people going along, that they knew the truth, but they said, whatever stunts, stand by for any stunts we not have to pull, is not only created division, it's embarrassing, it's also expensive.
Extremely.
And we are on the hook for it. And like I said, not only is Trump running again, you know, and there's more and more people. I know there was one headline last week that we didn't talk about on the show, but you know, Paul Ryan, whatever it is he's up to these days, is still trying to be relevant, came and said, I would not support Trump. And there's obviously more people who are now willing to run against Trump in what could be a crowded presidential Republican primary. But the truth is, and we're going to talk about this when we come back, but the RNC leader, Ronna McDaniel, as of this weekend on Upfront on WASN, when she was here last week for the kickoff of RNC stuff in Milwaukee, still is centering election integrity as a major talking point. Fiery Monday.
Yeah.
All right. Coming back, we're going to talk more about Ronna McDaniel and what she said to on Upfront over the weekend. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You
know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 36 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 33. High temperatures reach up to 38. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. A dusting of snow Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jane Mattinair on the board, and I am ranting about these audio tapes or this audio file that got leaked to the Associated Press. This broke on Friday, and we're just talking about it now because it's combined with so many other things that happened at the end of last week and over the weekend, being these tapes were leaked as from Andrew Iverson trying to rally the troops after he admitted that Trump had lost Wisconsin to Biden, but said, stand by for any stunts we need to pull. And then the campaign and everyone on behalf of Trump continued to lie to say the election was stolen. The money that we're still on the hook for, because not only was the Gableman investigation, whatever that, you know, we want to call it, didn't find anything and in and of itself cost over $500,000. It's over $1.5 million right now in legal fees because he mishandled it so poorly and opened himself up to lawsuits. But he doesn't have to pay that money. Robin Voss doesn't have to pay that money. We have to pay that money.
Lucky us.
And then the final kicker is the RNC is coming to Milwaukee. I am not in the camp of...
Don't take their money?
No, I'm just in the, I mean, I'm not in the, I'm so mad about the RNC coming to Milwaukee camp. Like, I know it was, I was talking to a friend recently and I think he kind of assumed that I was, and I was like, I'm fine. Like, obviously there's, I think it's going to make for interesting news. If anything, it makes my job easier to do because I'll have fun topics to talk about and it keeps Wisconsin in the news. But last week, the RNC committee was in town. They were at Third Street Market Hall, which is good for Omar. And Mayor Johnson was there and everything. And Ronna McDaniel coming off of her, you know, contentious re-election. You know, and I hadn't really, it's so, she is very, she's very put together.
Yeah.
I will give her that. She was very put together.
She's been in the game a long time.
And, you know, per usual, Matt Smith from WISN's up front and their political director was there and interviewed her and grabbed her. It was kind of, it seemed kind of like a, it wasn't a sit down. Like they just kind of like he
met in the hallway,
they met in the hallway or whatever. And I give him credit because he's a good interviewer as far as he comes off as pretty casual and like tries to sneak a couple things in there to see if he could get anything out of her as far as like how many debates there would be and when a debate in Wisconsin might be and all that. But one of the things he brought up was election integrity and how much of that is still a core component of the GOP strategy. And so let's play a little bit of that and then we'll break it down.
I mean, the RNC is a turnout operation. We don't pick the candidates, the voters do. We don't do the messaging, the campaigns do, but we are the turnout machine. And 4 million more Republicans turned out this last election. We engaged in community centers and minority communities at a level that we've never done before. And we built a huge election integrity program. So those are things the RNC is going to continue to do. I think those things made 2022 a better election than it would have been, and the RNC is vital for our success in 2024.
It looks like you're continuing election integrity efforts. Do you back that new draft report that is out, and what does that look like on the ground in states like Wisconsin?
Yeah, so that's not an official report. There's other things that need to be added, that included all the legal pursuits that we had, all the lawsuits that we had. So we're going to continue to engage in election integrity, poll watchers, poll workers, and also litigation where it's necessary.
What does that look like in a battleground like Wisconsin,
well,
where Wisconsin, it was really contentious
well,
coming
Wisconsin,
out for 2020?
You know, in 2022, it wasn't contentious, though, right? Because we did do election integrity, and we did elect in your state. You have to elect poll workers, so we had them on the ballot. We also had poll watchers, so Wisconsin's laws are different than every other state. But because we put that planning in place, 2022, we came out with a much better result, with people trusting the election because we had people watching and being part of that process.
In your mind, what needs to change between 22 and 24?
We just got to keep our foot on the gas, continue to do that.
That's why 2022, everyone just accepted the results.
Right.
Because there was poll watchers.
Right.
Because there were so many more poll watchers. That is the difference. That's why we can trust 2022, even though Governor Evers won, even though it was a split ticket result. But wait, isn't that basically what happened in 2022? Didn't down ballot Republicans in 2020 in Wisconsin do very well?
They did.
They did very well. And it was just the top of the ticket guy that didn't manage to pull it over the finish line. Weird.
You know what's also weird? And this has always bothered me, because those names are all on the same ballot.
Yeah.
And so.
And they all have R's next to it.
Right.
Like R's and D's and I's,
right,
and Green Party. And you can see which party's which.
Yeah. So the whole premise that machines somehow change just one vote on those ballots and not all the other ones has always been kind of a point of fascination for me. We do have a text from the 262. Thank you so much. You can always get in touch with us at 844-967-2789. The problem is that no matter how logical you make your argument, Trump conservatives and the portion of the GOP don't care about logic in the least. I don't know if it's because of ignorance or a blind eye to facts, but the recorded segment you guys shared makes zero difference to them. And that's true.
And that's true. And it's, I saw this once. I forgot where I was seeing the argument of, like, when you're like those of us who kind of, and I even just now, you're like the smug, I'm smarter than you attitude doesn't necessarily change people's minds.
Right.
And you're not going to logic people into changing their minds when they're so dug in. So in this moment right now, I am not trying to change anyone's mind. I am just complaining. I am just complaining that this is still such a cornerstone, and that we don't have time to get into it right now. But the document that she kind of dodged the question around is that the Washington Post broke like a leaked document, or that said basically that the RNC's plan is to increase and formalize the process for election challenges, creating election integrity officers all around the country, even as the document acknowledged that election fraud conspiracy theories hurt Republican voters' confidence in elections and may have contributed to their loss in key states in 2020 and 2022.
May?
And it also goes back to Brian Schimming saying we need to encourage early voting from our voters, but they've dug themselves into a hole. All right, when we come back, maybe we'll keep talking about this. Maybe we'll move on to some other headlines. Either way, it'll still be As Goes Wisconsin.
We'll have to wait and see. I'll call you back later.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Why didn't the U.S. shoot down that suspected Chinese spy balloon earlier in the week? CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Pentagon told the president that doing so over the continental United States
would be a great risk to American people and infrastructure. So the White House says the president directed the military to make a plan to take it down over U.S. waters.
Thousands of residents of East Palestine, Ohio, are in shelters this morning after a train derailment Friday night. Some cars contained hazardous materials. Resident Tammy Everson.
It was very scary because we honestly didn't know what was going to happen to this town.
Tens of thousands of Israelis braved heavy rain yesterday to protest for a fifth week against a proposal to weaken the judiciary's ability to block some government actions. Lawyers and some business leaders fiercely oppose the plan. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Federal aid for food benefits ends this month. Food pantries already seeing an increase in demand because of the high price of food and gas. Officials worry the loss of the additional money will put an added strain on food pantries. The loss to federal aid will disproportionately affect some seniors living on a fixed income who've been getting the maximum allotment of $281. That help for food will soon drop to the minimum of $23 a month. $164 million. That's what was spent on Wisconsin's 2022 governor's race by candidates and outside groups. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign says that broke the previous record of $93 million spent in 2018. Executive Director Matt Rothschild called the total shocking and tells WPR part of the reason the governor's race raked in so much money is that campaigns in Wisconsin have become nationalized. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. No matter where you're listening, on the radio, streaming across the Civic Media Network, on civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, which you can download in your app store. And on the app, you can see all of the different stations and switch between them because there's a little bit of difference. Each lineup and each station is a little bit different. And so no matter where you are in the state or even the country or even the world, if you have that app, you're never without us.
You're never alone.
You're never alone. We're always there with you.
Yes.
All right. So jumping into some more headlines, it feels remiss not to talk about the Up sequel none of us wanted.
The movie?
The balloon that got popped.
Oh, the Up sequel. I thought, oh, no. They're really going to make a recreation of one of my favorite animated movies? Oh, that's funny.
This is the balloon. The balloon. Yes. The balloon course.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. And you're right. No one really wanted that.
No one really wanted. If there's going to be an Up sequel, although I think there is talks of an Up prequel that goes deeper into. Is this happening?
I don't know. I'll check. That sounds a little bit more reasonable.
Yes. I am of course, joking that the spy balloon is not a future Pixar movie. The spy balloon that finally got popped. But this obviously was late last week. Everyone was a little confused over what we were going to do with this Chinese balloon that was just making its way across Montana. And the size was about 3 buses.
It was big.
So it was big, and it was hard to miss. And it was flying over Montana, which is the home to a key missile site. And the military was basically going back and forth with President Biden on whether or not they should shoot it down. But for days, held off. And then over the weekend, they did pop it, but they popped it when it was over the Atlantic Ocean, off the coast of South Carolina. So it made its way across the country. If we first saw it in Montana and it got popped in the Atlantic Oceans. And so now, of course, Republicans are upset because they thought we should have shot it down sooner. And they think that this is a display of weakness and a failure to protect U.S. airspace. And so now they're considering passing a resolution this week that condemns the Biden administration. But the military basically responded by saying they didn't want debris from the balloon to hit Americans and advised Biden to hold off. And so there is now obviously some tension, and Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has canceled his trip to China. And so no one really knows. I mean, I haven't heard anything, or they haven't released anything, as far as why China is floating a balloon over the U.S. again. And because there was multiple sightings. This isn't the first sighting. This has happened like multiple times in recent years.
And during the Trump administration.
Yeah. And so for why the balloon went over something more subtle, like why they're doing that over a satellite. It's apparently balloons are cheaper.
Oh, makes sense.
And I guess they're harder to detect by radar, even though it was so big. And everyone, like even every layperson was like, wait, what is that?
Can you see that thing?
And so it's gone for now. But the Pentagon says there's a second Chinese spy balloon. And this one has been seen flying over Latin America. And supposedly there's like 97 in total.
Well, and don't most countries use spy balloons? I mean, I would imagine we have spy things.
Yeah.
Not
I
that,
guess.
You know, I just think that spying on adversaries is not an uncommon thing. The funniest thing that I took away from all of this was some of the Republicans in Congress who were telling people to shoot it down yourself. The balloon was 11 and a half miles up. I believe the longest rifle shot was something like a mile and a half. But yes, Lauren Boebert and MTG are telling people, go in your backyards, and if Biden's not going to do it, then you just shoot it down yourself. J.D. Vance posted a picture of himself sitting in a chair with a gun pointing at the sky.
Ready to shoot it down.
Yeah.
That reminds me. I don't think we've played this clip on the show, but Neil Brennan, comedian, brilliant comedian. He was creative partners with Dave Chappelle. He was like the director of the Chappelle Show.
Sure.
So he's been an entertainer for a long time. And in the last, I'd say, decade, came from behind the scenes and behind the camera to be more of a center stage comedian. In his newest special, he has a bit on how he loves how Second Amendment, the argument for the Second Amendment being you need to protect yourself from the military.
Right.
And he has this whole act out about, you know what I think we should do? I think once a year we should have a head-to-head showdown between some of these militia and the U.S. military and see what happens. And he has a whole act out of, like, you know, the news reporters being like, all right, we're on the ground with Joe Bob, and he's like, what are you working with?
And Joe Bob and the Warriors.
He lists off all of his, like, ARs, and, like, he has, like, you know, I can't do it because I don't have it memorized, but basically, you know, the guy's got, like, a southern, like, Appalachia-type accent of how, like, confident he feels, and then he goes to, like, Lieutenant Sergeant Marshall, whatever, the third, and he goes, what are you working with? He goes, well, this feels a little unfair, but, I got a drone.
Might not be exactly a fair fight.
Not the same. Yeah. It's the same thing. And that's you saying that just reminds me of this. Like, there's a reason we have the most powerful military in the world. So whether it's shooting down a spy balloon or protecting your freedoms, my money is on the military.
I would lean that way also. Texter from the 920 says, my question is why they used a $300,000 Sidewinder missile when they could have used a couple of 20-millimeter bullets. Now there's nothing left to get evidence from blowing it up 65,000 feet above the ocean.
That is a question beyond my pay grade.
Well, me too. And I don't understand exactly how you would fire bullets. I mean, I know there was an aircraft, there was an F-22, I believe, that fired that missile. But what's he going to do, open the window and shoot a gun? I think opening a window at that altitude is bad.
I know so little about firearms. I don't know what I know less about, firearms or cars. Like, we played, this is a tangent, and then we're going to move on to a new proposal in the Wisconsin State Legislature dealing with fentanyl. But there's this board game called Battle of the Sexes, which is, it's fun, but it's, you know, very gendered questions. Oh. You play boys versus girls.
Yep.
And it's fun when you have someone like a ringer on your team who knows. We had one friend who knows a ton about fishing and fixing
sports
cars and sports. And I'm pretty good at sports.
Yeah.
But I just realized, because it's like, and then for the women, it's like fashion and house stuff and all. And I was like, I realized I was just bad at all of it. Like, I wasn't helpful for either team.
Don't say you're bad at all of it. Say you're qualified in most.
For some reason, I'm smart enough to have my own, like, radio show, but playing that game, I was like, there's a lot of dumb trivia, gendered trivia that I don't know.
I don't think that that's a mistake in your life. I don't think you'll be missing that
stuff.
That's
fine. Moving on. So, this is actually interesting, and I think this is interesting as far as potential bipartisan, you know, the rare sighting.
Extremely rare.
Of bipartisan agreement on a proposal, because this problem is so dire and awful that the at least talking about different solutions of how to curb it, I think everyone has to be open to everything. I don't know if this will solve it, but I'm not mad about it being on the table. So everyone knows, I would imagine, it's hard to avoid knowing how awful not only opioid and overdoses and deaths from overdoses have become, not only just in Wisconsin, but across the country, but especially in Wisconsin. And 91% of opioid overdose deaths in 2021 involved fentanyl or other synthetic opioids. And fentanyl overdoses nearly doubled from 2019 to 2021. And this comes from the Department of Health Services in Wisconsin. And so now there is a new proposal that is in response to the opioid overdose rate in Wisconsin. And this was last week. They proposed increasing the maximum prison time for people who produce or sell drugs that cause another person's death. And this is one of, I think, because they're with the new settlement money that came out last year, there's a lot of different, I think, proposals going around as far as both prevention and trying to make things right. And this is coming as far as a deterrent for selling. And I don't know enough about criminal behavior. Do deterrents like this actually curb a person's decision to sell drugs?
Well, again, it might be if the sentences are considerably harsher.
And that's basically what this would do. So This came after last year there was a record number of opioid overdose deaths, 1,427, which was a 16% increase from 20. Well, this is for 2021, and it was an increase over 2020. And the under the proposal, the maximum penalty for causing another person's death by manufacturing, distributing, or delivering many controlled substances. It's not just fentanyl. It's like ketamine. It's other things that you can...
Opioids.
Yeah. And it would increase from a 25-year prison sentence to a 40-year sentence. And the maximum extended supervision period would also shift from 15 to 20 years under the new bill. And
25 years sounds like a pretty long time.
That's what it is now.
I know. And if that's not deterring people, really
that's,
is.
And I think that's my point. And my. I'm not like, oh, this is a bad bill at all. Because and in the conversation of what do we do? Because we have to do something. Putting stronger sentencing on the table seems like a logical conversation. But I feel like it seems like the cognitive dissonance between the difference as a drug dealer of whether if I get caught, this is now 15 years longer than it would be. It's like, because you're already playing the fire, right? Like, if you get caught, this is already against the law.
Right.
And so if you get caught, you're going to jail. And so I would assume that the calculus of how long you're going to jail for doesn't necessarily factor in whether or not you're doing it. It's the what does, I would imagine, factor in is like going to jail or not going to jail. And so if you think you can continue to get away with it, you're going to continue to do it. And so it only like I just don't know if this is the deterrent that they think it is.
Well, and I would put money on it that most people who are dealing in this stuff have no idea that the sentence is 25 years. But like, because like you said, it's either, yep, if I get caught, I'm going to jail. And they're not thinking of the longer term.
Well, and also the conversation around what is the, because when you think of a murder charge, you think of, I shot you with a gun. I stabbed you with a knife. I beat you to death. Something, sorry for the violence. But, and the, I just sold you a pill. Your choice that you took it.
Right.
And yet the next logical point is that, no, you're on the hook for that. And I don't know how many of, I don't know, I gotta be honest, I don't know a lot of drug dealers. But I'm not saying that this isn't a conversation to be happening. I just don't know. It's kind of the same thing when we talk about cash bail, cash bail was designed to get people to come back to court. It's been proven that that's not really it. But now they're trying to keep cash bail as a lever to, like, keep dangerous people in jail when all that is doing is keeping potentially dangerous people who are poor in jail. And if you're dangerous but wealthy, you can walk free. All right, when we come back, some good news, because we need it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Get your pay.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Speaker Voss, I understand you don't have any children. Does that mean he's been possibly practicing
sex with
contraceptives?
What?
Or is he just less than a man? How do you go through the entire life, three wives later, and no chitlins?
Shooting blanks?
Perhaps.
Pull and pray.
Doubtful.
Not getting any.
Unlikely.
Unable to perform.
More likely.
Paying for it.
I hate to judge.
We don't judge here. We're the Devil's Advocate.
Listen to the Devil's Advocates live weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 36. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows level off around 33. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 38. A dusting of snow Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Well, you know, me and Cage, we're Lakers for life, but there's one player, don't matter what team he's on, he's incredible. Follow me for the changes. Antetokounmpo, 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 1, 2, 3. Antetokounmpo, 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 MVP. Antetokounmpo, 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 yes, it's true. Antetokounmpo, 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 we love you!
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Jane Madnair on the board. And now for some good news.
Yes.
Well, probably you might have heard about this, but once again, this is less of a thing that Giannis is really killing it this season. He is playing very well. And last Thursday, he scored 54 points and beat the Clippers 106 to 105. And you know, we all remember when we won the championship.
Yes.
In 2021, and he talked about for his 50 points, he wanted to go to Chick-fil-A and get 50 nuggets or whatever they call them over there. And this time, because we don't claim Chick-fil-A in this state, right? We claim
Culver's.
And so let's play a little bit of a clip, and then we're going to talk about what Culver's did in response.
Scoring 50 is fun, though, right?
Yeah, it's definitely fun. Last time I went to Chick-fil-A, and I got the nuggets. But now tomorrow I think I'm gonna go to Culver's. You know, I'm gonna get 50 cheeseburgers, and I'm gonna try to eat as many as I can, and the rest I have my son eat them, or I give them to my dog.
I'm sure they'll be waiting for that.
You know why I'm going to Culver's? Because Chick-fil-A did not give me no free meals. Okay. I know Culver's will give me free meals. I trust Culver's.
I trust Culver's.
I know they'll give me free food.
I love that he called out Chick-fil-A. And this is like one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid NBA player in like NBA player period. And he's like, they didn't give me free food.
Who did we just talk to that talked about being in a store with him?
That was it was a story I told about my friend who was in a Milwaukee baby store.
Oh,
and this
right.
is after his first kid had recently been born.
Born.
It was before we won the championship. So this would have been early 2021. And my friend was in the store, and he's like, he had just signed the Supermax. And my friend said he sat there for 10 minutes checking the receipt
to make sure it was right. I think that is just priceless.
So Culver's made, this is the Culver's in Shorewood on Capitol Drive, and they made good at this. So they tweeted out, and they said, congrats on the win and 54 points, Giannis. Come see us for your 54 cheeseburgers. To celebrate, we'd also like to make a donation of 54,000 diapers to Milwaukee Diaper.
Oh.
We appreciate all that you and Mariah do for the city of Milwaukee, because as we've interviewed the executive director of Milwaukee Diaper on here before, And they are very, both Giannis and his, I guess they're still just girlfriend.
Yes.
Even though they have two kids together.
Yeah.
His partner, Mariah. They are very involved with Milwaukee Diaper. And so 54,000 diapers is no joke.
That's wonderful.
So hats off to Culver's on, you know, fulfilling and being like the community member that, and obviously Culver's is a franchise. And so the owners of that franchise choosing to do this, like
I've been to that Culver's many times. I used to work right down the road. It's terrific.
Yeah, it is terrific. So, but that's not the only good bucking news that happened last week and over the weekend. So I feel like Giannis gets a lot of attention, but we have other stars on the team, and we have other stars on the team who do good, lots of good.
Yes.
In the community, and that includes Drew and Lauren Holiday, who teamed up with Kohler, the Milwaukee Bucks Foundation, and teamed up with friend of the show, Sojourner Family Peace Center, and Carmen, because I guess the story goes that they were up at Kohler and picking out things to redesign their house, they being Drew and Lauren Holiday, and she basically said, you know what would be really cool if we partnered and we did women's shelters.
How awesome.
So immediately they teamed up with Kohler, and then they reached out to Sojourner Family Peace Center, and they basically pitched in a combined effort of nearly $300,000 to repair and renovate three local shelters, including the main one that's on Walnut, that's right next to the Fiserv. And, you know, we've talked to Carmen before as far as the different resources and what's available at these different shelters. But, you know, one of the points that they made is a lot of wear and tear.
Absolutely.
Because they're serving a lot of people, and there's a lot of, you know, the turnover rate of people coming in and coming out, and trying to make the shelters comfortable and make them feel like home. And so the ability that they just made this happen, and I don't know if they've broken ground yet, but the fact that they're just putting this into play, I don't think should be overshadowed.
That's wonderful.
It deserves or equal footing as the 54,000 diaper donation.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's going to be the Hope House in Milwaukee and also the Women's Shelter here in Waukesha.
Oh, no kidding.
Are all going to get new bathroom fixtures. And so, you know, sometimes it's good to
Remind ourselves
of the good things that are happening and the people who do good things in their, you know, some might say trivial. If you're not a sports fan, you maybe think that the amount of attention and outsized adoration some of our sports heroes get isn't welcome. So then recognizing the good things that they do and the attention that they bring to different community organizations and community initiatives, I do think is worth. I also like the sports part, but at least is good too.
Yeah, absolutely. And forgive me for forgetting, was it DeMar who was just injured in that game?
Yeah.
And
Damar.
And the charitable things that he had going. A lot of our athletes do things like that, which is wonderful.
Well, and also the Packers organization. I don't have it up in front of me, but the Packers organization the last couple weeks, the technology and the thing that basically kept him alive on the field, Packers donated that to, I think, different hospitals or different. They did a big donation as far as that same technology of like donating it. So I'm going to find, I'll find that link and put it in today's notes, because now I feel like I'm butchering that story. But with that, we are going to go to the top of the hour news. But when we come back, Carrie Winkler is going to be here, and she is the program specialist in the Division of Continuing Education and Community Engagement at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And she is going to talk to us about the new Wisconsin Caregiver Academy, which is trying to combat the crisis that we have in caregivers. And the question continues, which shortage is the worst shortage when it comes to our labor force in Wisconsin? This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Sit by the TV and watch them all, cause currents blow. Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The Devil's Advocates.
The conservative dating app, The Right Stuff, is failing 3 months after launch. In October, the app, The Right Stuff, had just 11,000 downloads.
The profile creation process also asked users to list their thoughts about the January 6th Capitol riots. Two reviewers claimed that FBI and police officers visited their homes after filling out their profiles.
The political party that is The Devil's Advocates radio show, live weekdays from 4 to 6.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.